Messages.
The Messages, a podcast of First Baptist Church of Laurel, Maryland, teaching you to love God, love our neighbors, and love the nations. Here's Pastor Brent Brewer.
We can take our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. We're beginning a new sermon series today for the next few months. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, and hopefully this is going to be a blessing. I've been amped about this for about 6 to 9 months, so I'm really going to let it go today. It's been all stored up in here for a while, and so I'm looking forward to it. I want to start off by talking about a book. In 2003, A.J. Jacobs published a book entitled The Know-It-All. There's a picture of the book for you. This book was based on his experience of reading through the Encyclopedia Britannica in 1 year. He read all 44 million words on 33,000 pages. This dude, learned all kinds of minutiae. And this kind of personifies the information age. We have more information than ever before, but yet we don't have a lot of wisdom. Just ask Mr. Jacobs. His vast reservoir of knowledge hardly made him any wiser. He said reading all of that didn't make him any smarter. He says what it did make him, though, is very annoying to his family. His wife, actually, she got so sick of all this, she actually started fining him for every fact he mentioned that wasn't relevant to their conversation. Why do I bring this up? Because in contrast to that, God has given us the biblical book of Proverbs to teach us knowledge about life. So let me ask you all this question. Does anybody here need more wisdom? Would you raise your hand? Okay, most of you do. The rest of you are Jesus. I don't meet many people who say, I'd like to live my life foolishly and just make a mess of my life. With the increasing complexity of our world and our lives, wisdom becomes a rare commodity, doesn't it? But the good news is that the Bible speaks about wisdom. God, He desires to give us wisdom. He isn't playing hide and seek up in heaven somewhere, seeing if we'll figure it out. God wants us to live wise lives. Life is filled with proverbial statements, pithy, memorable statements. Some of these make a point. I'm going to give some of them to you. Some will be on the screen. Have you ever heard this one? Never trust a skinny cook. Have you ever heard that? Fish and visitors stink after 3 days. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Those of you that like to wear tank tops in the summer or maybe the winter, sun's out, guns out. All right? That'll be me next summer. All right? He who dies with the most toys is still dead. If at first you don't succeed, you're about average. It's easier to get forgiveness than to get permission. I love this one. If you're going to be dumb, you've got to be tough. It's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Mark Twain. It's better to swallow words than to have to eat them later. Franklin Roosevelt. And here's my favorite one. Life isn't like a box of chocolates. It's more like a jar of jalapenos. What you do today might burn your behind tomorrow. Remember that. That could help you in life, all right? You know, the book of Proverbs might bear some resemblance to these pithy statements. This book, though, is much more than some witty little tips. Proverbs is not like fortune cookies, which may or may not be true, nor is Proverbs like Dear Abby. It's not pop psychology that gives us the Disney line, just follow your heart. It's not talk radio that spews out an agenda. Proverbs is not a horoscope. Proverbs is different than all of these sources of wisdom. We turn to Proverbs because it's inspired scripture. It teaches us about the gospel. It teaches us about Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Proverbs should call us not simply to know the right things, but to know the right person. And the right person is Jesus Christ. If you want to come in here today and say, I don't know who to follow, follow Jesus Christ. He's the right person. And Jesus says this, come and follow me. So this morning we begin our study of this book. Maybe you've never sat through a series on the book of Proverbs. One reason we neglect this book is because each verse appears unrelated to the next. So it's very hard, it's very difficult to preach through this book verse by verse. But here's what others have faithfully done. Here's what I'm going to attempt to do, is to teach this more in a topical fashion. So in the upcoming weeks, what are we going to be talking about? Marriage, that's next week, so be ready. Marriage, we're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about temptation. We're going to talk about how to deal with hurts. We're going to talk about just a myriad of other things, how to prosper in the workplace. So my goal is to preach the Word of God, make it very, very practical for your lives. So today what we're going to talk about, the title of the message is Seek Wisdom. So today we're going to talk about wisdom. And that's my first point. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? One author put it this way. Wisdom is the daily ability to meet the full assortment of challenges along the road of life. It's different than knowledge. Knowledge might be the facts, but wisdom is how the facts are played out in your life. It's being able to meet the needs of the full assortment of life's challenges. And I don't need to tell you, are there a lot of challenges in life? There are all kinds of challenges. Some have said wisdom is knowing what to do in a given situation. So when a person like comes at you angrily, what do you do? What would be the wise response? God desires to give us wisdom. The book of James, which has often been referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament, says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives to us generously and ungrudgingly. You know, I love that. Don't you love that? God is generous. He doesn't say, you have to meet all the prerequisites for wisdom. He doesn't come along and say, did you check all the boxes? James says, if you lack wisdom, all you have to do is ask God, and he gives it to us generously. Proverbs 1 is an encouragement to seek wisdom. This is often a conversation in chapter 1 between a dad and a son. So you dads out there, if you're looking for ways that you want to disciple your sons, take them to Proverbs chapter 1 and read those first 9 chapters with them. You will be blessed, they'll be blessed. It's ready-made for that kind of encouragement. Here's the second thing I want to look at. What is the purpose of the book of Proverbs? Darren just read it to us in verses 2 through 6. Let me read some of it again. Here's the purpose. For learning wisdom and discipline in righteousness, in justice and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. Let a wise person listen and increase learning. Let a discerning person obtain guidance. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. You know, there is not a person in here who could not use a good dose of this. I wonder, is there any person in here who needs to give your children like some prudent instruction? I wonder if anyone in here has a job and you need some righteousness, some justice, and some integrity in the workplace. Any students in here who could use some knowledge and discretion. By the way, students, most of you go back to school tomorrow. You're going to need some knowledge and discretion like tomorrow. All right? That word discretion is the word discernment. Some of you are in here, what do I do with my life? Some of you are at a crossroads. Do I go right or do I go left? Do I continue to live here in this area or do I move? Do I have this career or do I move on to another career? You could really use some instruction and discernment. This is what the book of Proverbs is aiming to do, to give us that kind of instruction. Which brings me to my third point. Where does this instruction come from? Verse 7 tells us. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of the whole journey of wisdom. What does that mean, fear of the Lord? Sometimes it means like fear. Like we're terrified. There's that aspect of it in Scripture, literal fear. And rightfully so. If the God of the universe, if he would stop thinking about us for a moment, we would cease to exist. He deserves some fear, yes, but there is also this idea of reverence. Do you know what reverence is? It's when you and I recognize that there is something so holy, so beautiful, so powerful, that you rightly respect it. You revere it. You worship it. Like, that's the fear of the Lord. And throughout Scripture, this idea of fearing the Lord has to do with right relationship with God. In fact, the fear of the Lord is the motivation for so many acts of worship and devotion in the Bible. The fear of the Lord causes us to be more courageous. The fear of the Lord causes us to endure when life gets hard. The fear of the Lord is a delight. That's what the prophet Isaiah says. In the book of Acts, the fear of the Lord is what drives believers and Jesus followers to engage in life with each other. The fear of the Lord has all of these motivations. And so at the end of the day, what is the fear of the Lord? It's the right posture. It's the right relationship with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge in this chapter. I love what one commentator says, Tremper Longman. He says, wisdom is not just a practical skill of life. Wisdom at bottom is relational. That is, it begins with a relationship with the Lord. So in other words, like, becoming a wise person, it's not just a quality. It's not a character trait. It's not just something we'll develop. You won't gain a life that's characterized by wisdom from YouTube. You know, it doesn't matter like how many tutorials you watch. You won't get it from social media. You won't get it from self-help books. You get wisdom, friends, in a right relationship with God. Now, I'm going to tell you why in just a second, but wisdom begins with right relationship. And let me just kind of zoom out for just a moment from the book of Proverbs and think of wisdom in general. There is a range when it comes to the book of Proverbs. And here's something that you all need to understand, and I've had to learn to understand through the years. You can underread the book of Proverbs, or you can overread the book of Proverbs. And typically, sometimes we fall into one of those two things. When you underread the book of Proverbs, what happens is you're sitting here, you're reading the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, we just read in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we can say, whatever, whatever. I don't care about that. I've got other things on my mind. I've got other resources. I'm not going to look to the Lord. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to listen to my friends. I'm going to listen to people on social media. That's under-reading the book of Proverbs. Whatever is out there, we're like, well, I'm going to listen to that. I'm not going to listen to what the book of Proverbs says. So that's under-reading it. You got that part? There's also over-reading the book of Proverbs. The general message of Proverbs is this: if you follow the Lord and you fear him rightly, life will go well with you. And if you don't, it's going to lead to all kinds of folly. That's the general message of the book of Proverbs. So sometimes we come to a verse like this in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, start a youth out on his way, even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. You heard that verse? Like old school, old King James was like, train up a child in the way he should go, all right? You've all heard this verse, right? So sometimes what we do is we overread the book of Proverbs. How do we do that? We take verses in the book of Proverbs and treat them as promises and not proverbs. In other words, every child, I sit my little child down, I take him to little Sunday school, I teach him Bible verses, and everything's going great in their life, and then they become a teenager or they become a young adult and they walk away from the Lord, or all of a sudden you find out that your child becomes, you know, LGBTQ, what happens then? And here's what happens sometimes when we overread a verse like this. There are well-meaning, God-fearing, Bible-believing people who take this verse and use it as a weapon. So in other words, I can give you a story. There was in one of the churches that I pastored, we were putting forth someone as a leader in that church. They had an adult child. I don't know how old they were, 25, 30 years old. They weren't walking with Christ. And so the church people came up and said, this person is not qualified to serve in the church in this way because their child is wayward. Because of this verse, start out a youth on his way. When they're old, they won't depart from it. So in other words, they've departed from it. So obviously, they didn't train them well in the home. Obviously, there's something there that happened behind closed doors that they're trying to hide. I'm like, really? Really? I mean, you do understand, and I told them this. I said, you do understand that all children, all of us have failed as parents. You understand that. Would you shake your head if you failed as a parent? All right, some of you are Jesus still, okay? You have failed as a parent. If you don't think you have, then ask your kids, all right? They will tell you that you failed as a parent. There is only one perfect parent, and that is God. And he wasn't even completely, he is perfect, but what did all of his kids do? All but Jesus, they all rebelled, okay? Every one of them rebelled. And so sometimes God's people will take a verse like Proverbs 22:6 and they will use it as a weapon against God's people. Don't use that as a weapon against God's people. Some of you, maybe in this church, you see one child in a family, they're not walking with God, and you're like, there must have been some bad parenting in that house. I would just require, hey, hold it. Don't bring that up. Don't talk about it. Don't let your mind go there. In pastoral love, stop it. Just stop it. Because we don't know. There are plenty of kids who grew up in good homes, who loved Jesus, who were taught the Bible, and they have gone astray. And our hope and prayer is they do come back to Jesus. And there have been plenty of kids who've grown up in crappy homes where the parents profaned the name of Jesus and they've turned out and they've gone to the mission field. So we can't use the book of Proverbs as a weapon. We can't use it as promises. But here's another one I've heard. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know this one, don't you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him. He'll make your path straight. And we try to do that as believers in Jesus. We want to live that verse. The only problem is sometimes life goes sideways. Cancer hits. A marriage inexplicably tears apart. You lose a job. Life comes crashing down. People come along and say, well, you must not have been trusting God with all of your heart then. Because if you had, these things wouldn't be happening. We can overread the book of Proverbs, and we can massacre each other with it. How should we read the book of Proverbs? Biblically. We shouldn't overread it. We shouldn't underread it. We should read it as God intends it to be read. Here's the fourth thing I want to have us look at. How do we grow in wisdom? Two choices. Verses 8 through 10. It says this, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Don't reject your mother's teaching, for there'll be a garland of favor on your head, pendants around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. Two choices that wisdom calls us to. Here's the first choice. Who will you listen to? All of you are listening to somebody. Who are you listening to? Friends, YouTube, Google searches. Who are you listening to? The father here is calling on behalf of the father and mother. This isn't just parental units. This is a picture of authority, wise counsel, wise authority. And the writer of Proverbs says, don't forsake wise counsel in your life. There are two voices in Proverbs. One of them is saying, follow this. Another one is saying, follow here. And do you see in verse 10 what it says? Sinners will entice you. Don't be persuaded. The company we keep affects what we seek and what we value. It's almost as if Proverbs is true. Those who walk with the wise will grow wise. Listen, when I was younger, I remember somebody saying this to me, that this time next year, you will be the same as you are right now, except for the people you spend time with and the books that you read. See, the people we spend our time with shape our lives. In fact, they can make or break us. Who will you listen to? Who will you spend time with? Our world is constantly speaking and enticing us. Now, I'm going to get really specific here, and some of you aren't going to like it. But I'm going to tell you the way it is because I love you. And I want you to hear it, okay? Here's an example of wisdom in our culture. People who choose to live together before they get married. Now, I say this with no judgment. I say this with no condemnation, but it's a thing. And you know what it's called in our culture? Wisdom. Wisdom says, live together before you get married. Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you? You try before you buy. You test drive before you buy the car. You try on the shoes before you buy them. Shouldn't you do that before you get married? So we hang out with people and they say, I think that's the wise choice. So who are you listening to? As I see it, do you know what happens when you live together before you get married? You audition. 24/7, you audition. It's all about compatibility. There has been no commitment, so you're always on trial. You're always auditioning. What do I mean by auditioning? If I brush my teeth the wrong way, she could leave me. Or if I put the toilet paper under, like, who would ever do that? But if I put the toilet paper under and not over, this could be the end of our relationship. You're trying to make compatibility work. There's no commitment. There's nothing binding. But do you know what happens when you put a ring on it? Do you know what happens when the burden of a covenant and commitment happens? When God is saying, honor the marriage bed, keep it pure, there's a reason why. Because he wants covenants. He wants all of us for the other person. And you know, deep inside, we all want that. But when we audition and audition and audition, something happens, people change. You know, sometimes when I talk to married couples, one of them will say, you are not the person I married. You know what I want to say to them? Aren't you glad? Amen? I mean, don't we want to see people grow? God wants to grow you through your marriage. When you have auditioned and auditioned and auditioned, that's what you signed up for. When someone begins to change, you're like, whoa, 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 I'm not into this. Listen, you try on shoes, you test drive a car, those are static things. Those are objects. Who can know the heart of a person? The scripture says it's like deep waters. I've seen other examples of wisdom, even from church folk. You go through a hard spell in your marriage, a Christian Bible-believing person comes up and says, well, here's the answer for you. Maybe you ought to get divorced because you obviously aren't happy. Now, I know there are biblical reasons for divorce, but that's not what this sermon is about. And by the way, I don't think your happiness is one of those reasons for divorce from the scriptures. But Bible-believing people come up, of course God wants your happiness, so pursue your own way. And oftentimes, this is presented as wisdom. Now, can I just ask you this? If you are in the place where you have a hard decision to make and you don't know what to do, could you just ask this question, like one question? Here it is. What has God said about this? That's a good question, isn't it? What has God said about this? I don't mean just like find a verse in the Bible that justifies what you want to do, but what has God said about this? This is oftentimes beyond my own understanding. I have to talk to other people, wise people who are in my life. Who will you listen to? Authorities, godly people in my life who will tell me hard things. I have to have those people in my life that will tell me hard things. I have a few of those people in our church. I have some elders and some future elders that we're going to be promoting in our church in the next year. I ask them from time to time, tell me hard things. Tell me where I'm messing up. Tell me what you see in me that needs to change. Because I know I can't see it. I can't see it. But they see it. And you see it, and I want to grow, and I want to be wise. You know, I have made a lot of unwise decisions in my life. Have you? Have you? Good. Some of you need to come along now. I don't have time to tell you all the bad decisions that I've made, but let me tell you a couple of them, okay? You'll be like, you know, you ought to really, really offer encouragement and praise to my wife. Come on, it's okay. She needs it. Living with me can be challenging. We've been married like 28 years, and I have moved that poor girl 14 times. Can you imagine moving 14 times? I mean, I'm tired of moving. I'm not moving again. You know, my next move is going to be up, all right? It's not going to be lateral, all right? But she has been so gracious and kind. People say, are you in the military? I'm like, no, God's army, God's army. But we have moved a lot, and you know, that wasn't always wise. It didn't always work out. Like one time, like literally, we moved into a house we had never seen. And we rented this house, and friends had went and checked this house out for us. It was a train wreck. I mean, a train wreck. Have I told you about this house? It was all like mismatched, and it was all thrown together. And it's down in South Carolina. And you know they've got those palmetto bugs down there? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, if you don't, you need to go down there and get a box and let them loose in your house. You'll have 2 million of them in about 3 months. They're everywhere. I remember, yeah, we were in this house, and, oh, man, Pam was upset, and Lauren got stuck in her bedroom and couldn't get out because the carpet rolled up underneath the door, and she was like 3 years old in there crying and screaming, and this is like the house of horrors. I remember us laying in bed one night, and there was a speaker in the bedroom that they had taken out, but they left the hole there, like up in the ceiling. We're sitting there in bed, and all of a sudden, this thing drops out right into our bed. Pam did a dance like I've never seen. There were covers and dancing and jigging going on. One of those palmetto bugs dropped right out of the ceiling right into our bed. Ugh, dirty. I made some really bad decisions. I have made some really bad financial decisions. How about you? You? Like, I've had people, like, money I've invested with people, and they ended up in jail, took my money and ran. A lot of bad decisions. So the question is, first of all, who are you listening to? You have some people you're listening to? But here's a second question I'm going to show you in the text. This is very fundamental. Will you listen? That's a big problem with a lot of us. Will you listen? Look at verse 20. This is the first time, this is not the only time that wisdom becomes personified. She becomes this lady figure in the book of Proverbs. It says, wisdom calls out in the street. She makes her voice heard in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. How long, inexperienced one, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking and you fools hate knowledge? This is a cry from Lady Wisdom, and it's saying, listen, listen, listen. And don't miss this imagery of this. It's not a quiet concert hall that Wisdom is screaming. It's loud in the streets. It's in the markets. The writer of Proverbs is not a simpleton or naive when he anticipates the hard difficulties, the hard time we have listening to wisdom. There are so many other sounds and voices. Wisdom's crying out, will we listen? And you know, listening is different than hearing. You know what hearing is? Hearing is when like sound waves come in our eardrums, but listening is different. You know, we can hear God's truth while not listening. Some of you that are parents of teenagers, you know this. You can give a lecture to your teenager who looks back at you with a blank stare on their face, and you can shout, did you hear me? Well, of course they heard you, and so did all the neighbors, okay? The intent was not to determine whether the sound waves entered the child's eardrum, but rather, is anything rattling and registering up there, right? How do we attune ourselves to the voice of wisdom? When Fox News and MSNBC and CNN and the Washington Post and a YouTube video ranting about something, all of these voices, and we get inundated with the noise of the streets, we've got to regularly be listening to wisdom. Who are you listening to, and will you actually listen? See, we can ignore God, and we can turn to him and listen. When we don't listen to him, the consequences are disastrous. Look at verse 24. It says, I have called and you refused to listen. Then the following verses describe wisdom when it's refused in verses 26 and 27. It mentions calamity and terror and trouble and stress. Now that doesn't sound like a good time, does it? Wisdom asks us, I am calling to you. Are you listening? Which brings me to my last point. How do we find God's wisdom? How do we find it? Well, very simply, read the Bible. Read the Word of God. God has given us His Word to tell us who He is. And I'm not telling this to chide you. Some of you have been Christians for a long, long time, even decades, and you've never read the Bible from cover to cover. But yet you have all the answers. I'm not saying that to put you on a guilt trip. I'm saying if you really want to be wise, read the Bible. Read the Word of God. Get in a group Bible study. Get in one of our missional communities that are getting ready to relaunch here in a couple weeks. Listen to preaching. Do you listen to preaching? Do you listen to other people preach besides yours truly? I hope you do. It'll be for your edification. It'll be for your good. You'll learn some things. You'll find out they're a better preacher than I am. That's fine. Listen to preaching. Why? Because when you do, it builds wisdom. Secondly, we listen to God's wisdom in prayer. Most of us think prayer is talking to God. It is, but we need to learn to listen to God in prayer. The Holy Spirit is able to speak to us. Have you been listening? Let me give you a little caveat. We must not place the spiritual intuitions we receive in prayer on the same level as Scripture. When we believe God is communicating to us, we must make sure it agrees with Scripture. Here's a third way to listen to God's wisdom is paying attention to the way God's wisdom is confirmed in the lives of people around us. How many times have we heard something like this? We learn from our mistakes. I don't know about you, but personally, I would prefer to learn from the mistakes of others. Because if I learn from only my mistakes, I'm going to have to make a lot of mistakes to become wise. Proverbs says this in chapter 19, verse 25, strike the scoffer and the simple will learn prudence. Man, learn from other people's mistakes. Where have they sinned? Where have they fallen? Where have they struggled? Where have they not made wise choices? Pay attention to those things and be wise. Don't go along the way of folly. So I have two next steps that I want to give you as I close. First of all, I know there's 7 days in a week, but I'm just trying to stretch some of you. 5 days, I want to encourage you, 5 days a week, read the Bible each day this week. If you want to get wisdom, read the Bible. 5 days this week, concentrate, read the Bible. But here's the second takeaway I want to give you today. One meal. 5 days, one meal. Have a meal with someone who you would consider wise this week. You can say to them, can we have lunch? One meal. You're not just going to chit-chat. Say, I want to talk to you about wisdom. What are you reading? What are you listening to? What are your practices? What are you wrestling with? And by the way, you pay for the lunch. Okay? You don't say, hey, wise person, can you buy me lunch? One meal, walk with the wise. Some of you say, I don't know of any wise people in my life. Well, I know we have wise people here, not perfect people, but we've got some wise people here. I pray that God will send you somebody in your life, a wise person, a wise group of people. 5 days, this is what I want you to do this week. 5 days of reading the Word, one meal. You gonna have a meal this week? I'm planning on having about 20 of them, okay? But one of those that I plan on is I'm gonna invite a wise person out to lunch with me. And I'm going to pay for their lunch, and I'm just gonna ask them, what are you going through? How are you handling this? What are you struggling with? Help me. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at practical areas in our lives where we need to develop wisdom. Now, I don't want to send you out here today and say, go be wise, because that's very burdensome. What I do want you to do today is God has not said, here's a bunch of things you need to download to be wise. There's good news. The good news is that God didn't just sit up in heaven on his throne and say, get wise, and when you get wise, come see me. You know what God did? God sent his son, Jesus, God in the flesh, to pursue foolish ones like me. See, in my folly, like I was running the other direction, in unbrokenness and uncertainty, I was messed up, and what God did is he pursued me. You know what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians? He says, God chose what is foolish, that's me, and low, that's me, what is despised, that's me, what's weak, to shame the strong. Why? So that no one would boast in his presence. See, it's from him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us. The good news of the cross of Jesus Christ is God doesn't say, download some wise principles. God says, let me bring you into relationship with wisdom personified. His name is Jesus, and he is wisdom. You see, the fear of the Lord, a right relationship with the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom, because we get to know wisdom. We don't just need to have wisdom principles overflowing from us. We need to be in relationship with wisdom. We need to look wisdom in the face every day and say, that's what wisdom should do. There he is, Jesus. That's how wisdom loved. His name was Jesus. That's the direction that wisdom takes. So we aren't going to send you out of here to say, go be wise. I'm going to send you out of here today encouraging you to be in relationship with wisdom. And his name is Jesus. So let's just remember what wisdom has done. And what has wisdom done? Wisdom has given his life for our foolishness. Come to Christ. He is all wise. That's how we get wisdom. That's how we don't pursue the life of folly. Get Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Messages Podcast of First Baptist Church of Laurel. Want to get a hold of us or know more about us? Go to our website, fbclaurel.com. You can also connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just use FBC Laurel. If you're in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, join us at one of our services on Sunday at 8 a.m., 10:45 a.m. in English or Spanish. We look forward to connecting with you.
The Messages.